So is that an okay to start?
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Good morning and welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. Welcome to the folks that are here in the sanctuary this morning and welcome to everybody that's joining on the stream, watching at home or wherever as well. It is wonderful to be together as God's people to worship. Even though we're still in different places, it is wonderful to meet and together and to seek God and worship him together. My name is Chris, and I'm leading bits of the service today, and there'll be plenty of other people contributing as well. We've got the worship band, and we've got Peter, our senior minister, who will be speaking from God's word later as well. If this is your first time with us, either on the stream or worshipping in person, particular welcome to you all. For those folks that I've not had chance to speak to for potentially weeks and months, it's wonderful to see you. It's brilliant to just be together and see some faces that I've not seen in quite a long time. Brilliant to be together as God's people. The masks, everybody will be wearing masks during the service, but the folks that are coming up the front will take theirs off while they're doing their particular bits up the front. So that's kind of how we're doing things this morning. And we're going to start in a moment with a couple of songs, including one that is new, that was written by Matthew in our worship group. And it's just going to be wonderful to hear those words, to praise God, and to reflect on what it is to be his people this morning. So I'm going to read a couple of verses from Scripture and then pray for us as we start. So some words from 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, that is Jesus, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. We also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then skipping on to verse 9. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, now we have received mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you, whether it's here or whether it's at home through the stream. Lord, meet with us by your Spirit. Inspire us to praise you and honor you this morning, as you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Please have a seat. Just whilst we're in this attitude of worship and seeking God, wherever we are, whether we're at home, whether we're present here, let's just be still for a few moments and just remember that we're in God's presence. Remember that He's with us. Let Him speak and let us be ready to listen to what He says. Lord God, thank You that we can bring ourselves, our situations, our lives, everything before You. Thank You, Lord, that You love us, that You care for us, that You listen to us when we call to You. Thank You that You respond in power and love and grace. Lord, whatever we bring to You this morning, Lord, we thank You that You hear, and thank You that You have mercy on us and love for us. Some words from Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that is God's presence, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. May that be true for us this morning. May that be who we are as God's people, and may that be what we do when we meet and encourage and seek God together this morning. I'm going to hand over to Nathan, who's going to lead our all-age talk.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Nathan. I work for the church, and I've now had a haircut, which I'm very grateful for. This morning, we've had an excellent song introduced to us by Matthew and the music group. But I'm so glad. And when Matthew sent that song through earlier, a few weeks back, and in preparation for this service, it got me thinking about what makes me glad, but also what makes me sad. And often those two things go hand in hand. I realized I wasn't the first person to have these thoughts, and so I'm going to give you a whistle-stop tour to some of the big and deep thinkers into this area of philosophy. So the first one is, you might have to proceed for me, Adrian, it's not going to go on its own, is Epicurus. I don't need to tell any of you who this person is, but for those at home, maybe I should explain to you. Epicurus was a Greek philosopher from around 200 years before Christ. His big thought, put simply, was that pleasure is the complete absence of pain. So pleasure is the complete absence of pain. So fast forward a couple of millennia, and you get to the next real deep thinkers in this area. This isn't behaving, Adrian, so you can. So this is Bob Mortimer, part of the double act, Reeves and Mortimer. So Vic Reeves, Bob Mortimer, in the 1990s, they put forward that not pleasure is the complete absence of pain, but to suggest that pleasure is always followed by pain. Some of you might remember the Muller Rice advert. Some of you are looking a bit lost, and that's absolutely fine. Next people to really put some thought into this area were Pixar. Some of you will have seen Inside Out. I'm sure it's a show of hands. Who's seen Inside Out? Oh, less than I thought. You should see Inside Out. Let me affirm that. And I won't give you any spoilers as to what will happen. But these are the emotions within the main character. And it comes to a point in that film where they realize that pleasure and pain are together, frequently and most often. And when thinking about joy and being joyful, that often sadness is a companion to joy. So joy isn't the absence of sadness, but joy is alongside sadness. So we've sung, or we've swayed, or we've hummed to "I'm so glad," and we are delighted, aren't we, to be meeting together in the house of the Lord, joining with those from Psalm 122 that inspired Matthew, from the songs of ascent as they walked up to Jerusalem, as they walked up to the holy place. And as we've come this morning, whether we're sat in our home or sat in this sanctuary, we've come prepared to meet with God. But to meet with God isn't the absence of our pain, isn't the absence of sadness, but we bring all of who we are, all of our mixed emotions, we bring them to God. We've started a series in the book of Revelation, and when we read this first chapter and we see some of the images of God, we think, wow, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Menakshi will read for us later a description of Jesus that is, I mean, majestic, unparalleled. And if we only knew that of Jesus, we might think, how do I come to the house of the Lord confronted by that majesty and that splendor? Actually, the book of Revelation is part of scripture, isn't it? And we know of a few weeks ago that we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. We remember Jesus the human who came to earth at Christmas in a manger. We know of someone who experienced sadness and gladness, someone who cried, someone who wept over a city and longed to gather them like a mother hen gathers her chicks. That was Jesus' emotional state towards Jerusalem in preparation for his crucifixion. And so today, wherever we are, wherever we've come to, we bring all of ourselves, knowing that the Saviour that we love is not just majestic, but the Saviour that we love is human and experiences the whole realm and whole variety of human emotions too. The song that we'll sing or hum or act out together in a moment is "Our God is a Great Big God." And this song teaches us deep truth about who God is. It tells us that our God is great and big and massive, and yet it tells us that he holds us, you and me, those here and those at home, that God holds us in his hands, gentle, sensitive. That is the God that we've come to worship in with gladness, but also in sadness today. So let's worship together with "Our God is a Great Big God."
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Come those whose joy is morning sun and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change. We've just heard that sung. We're now going to pray to the one whose perfect love for us never changes. I'm going to pray, and at the end I'm going to pray one of Paul's prayers that he wrote in Ephesians. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to this point. We know it's only a building, and we know so many are still at home, but we thank you that the situation has progressed to where we can start to meet together and see each other face to face and worship you together. We thank you because it gives us hope for the future, that things will improve, that we will be able to do the things that we always considered just to be part of normal life. We thank you for your love and your deliverance during this time, that you have not left us, that you have been with us every step of the way. We thank you that we trust in the things not that are seen, but the things that are unseen. John in the book of Revelation wrote that he saw you shine like the shining sun in all its brilliance. We thank you that you are indeed the living one, the first and last, who was dead but now is alive forever and ever. We just thank you for all that you've done for us through Jesus, giving us new life in him. And yet, Father, we just heard that with pleasure comes pain, that with times of gladness comes times of sadness. We pray particularly for the people of India this morning. We've seen the terrible scenes of people dying through lack of oxygen, through the lack of health facilities, and people in real desperation and sadness. We pray that the international effort to send aid and equipment and help will go smoothly, that the situation there would come under control, that they would begin to get on top of the COVID virus. We just pray for all those who are grieving, who are in pain and suffering in India at the moment, that you would draw near to them, that they would experience something of you, and we pray that you would help them to health at this time. We pray too for the young people, who may not have been affected in terms of illness, but who have been affected in so many other ways in their lives. We think of those who would normally be coming up to exam time, and now it's assessments or some sort of fake exams and uncertainty. We do pray that you would help them through this time, that you would encourage them not to give up, that they would still be able to see that there is a future for them and that they are not forgotten. We pray too even for the younger ones. We thank you that under fives will be opening up this week, that mothers and carers with young children will be able to meet together, to be able to allow their children to socialize and to grow and develop as they should. We do just pray that you would have your hand on every one of them, that you would keep them safe, that we would not abuse the new freedoms that we have, but that we would adhere to the regulations and restrictions so that everyone may be safe and that we may all go into the future together. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, the same power that he used in his mighty strength, which he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. May you have the same power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 to 20. John's vision of Christ. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord.
It's really lovely to see people in person, and it's really good to be able to engage with people online as well. It's wonderful to be a part of this service here in Headingley and to hear the singing and to engage in the worship. It's so hard, if those of you who are here have found this, not to sing. Wonderful, wonderful songs, and people sort of spontaneously stood up, and yet not to sing is hard. And we do believe, and we do believe with confidence, that a time is coming, and is coming soon, when we will safely be able to sing. At Crag, we've already done that, but that's outside and it's slightly different. But a time is coming, and that's so exciting. And yet that is not our destination. Our destination is writ large here in the book of Revelation. And here in chapter one, as there is in chapter after chapter of this great book of scripture, there is worship and praise that is exuberant, that is heartfelt, that is God's people together in purity, praising God. Revelation is a book of prophecy. Revelation is a book of comfort and encouragement. Revelation is a book about mission, but it is a book of worship. It is worship and praise to our God. May we be people who worship God from our hearts in the days ahead. So many wonderful things here in these verses, just a few of them I'm going to pick out today and focus especially on the crucifixion resurrection pattern that there is here. Most of us will have engaged in some way with the funeral of Prince Philip on the 19th of April. It's a significant thing when someone who is a national figure, who has been around for so long, dies. And it affected people in different ways. Prince Philip's life had a number of twists and turns, but he was a man of deep faith. And a number of you may have noticed or may recall now in his funeral service, very austere, simple, straightforward, but some rich symbolism. And the last post was played, and then the reveille was played. And so the last post, the end, it's sort of the end of life. But then the reveille, it's the wake-up call, it's the morning. And people might have thought, well, these things are the wrong way round. Why play the reveille now? But actually, it reflects something of his faith, that death is followed by resurrection. Night is followed by morning. Darkness is followed by light. This death resurrection pattern is writ large in the Gospels. It's woven into the very fabric of the New Testament. And it comes into sharp focus here in Revelation chapter 1. So first of all, the death, crucifixion side of things. And maybe to ask a couple of questions. And just to ask, have you experienced suffering over the past week, over the past year? Have you experienced struggle in your discipleship life as you have followed Jesus? I know that for many of you, probably all of you, the answer is yes. And the encouraging thing as we read these verses is to see that we are not alone. In verse 9, the very first verse of our passage, John writes and he says, "I am your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance." Your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance. Who is John? Well, he's almost certainly the Apostle John. He's a great Christian leader. He's an apostle. He is the recipient of this amazing vision. He is the writer of Scripture. Does that mean that he has a life which is comfort and ease and wonder? Well, there is wonder, but there is also suffering and patient endurance as he engages in the work of the kingdom. For John, this great apostle, the road has been rough and steep. It's been a glorious road, but it's been a hard road as well. And so John joins with the great cloud of witnesses we read about in Hebrews 12, those who have run the race before us, those who've passed on the baton, who have struggled in the life of discipleship in different ways, but who finish the race and say, you can finish too. You are not alone in your journey of discipleship as you experience struggle and suffering, as you have to exhibit patient endurance. To be forewarned from Scripture is to be forearmed. And we know that we're not alone, not just the Apostle John, but many, many, many figures from Christian history, many in the present day, walk with us as we experience difficulty. But there is one who not only walks with us in the fact that he's gone before, but one who is right alongside us. Suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. In other words, this is the way that Jesus journeyed through life. Glory and wonder and mission and ministry and fruitfulness, but in the midst of suffering and difficulty, even for Jesus, suffering that took him to the cross. And he's not only our model in discipleship, he is with us. You notice that he is among the seven golden lampstands, who are the seven churches. He's not at a distance. He wasn't there, but he isn't there anymore. He's among us, and he's among us by the Holy Spirit, described in this chapter as the seven spirits of God, the perfect Holy Spirit. There are seven churches that John is writing to, and the sevenfold Spirit has that sense of completeness. The Holy Spirit is present with every church. He is with us. He is present with every disciple. And I just want to encourage you that you are not alone, that there are others who journey with you, and that God himself is with you by the Spirit. Jesus himself, King of kings and Lord of lords, this majestic Lord, he is with you. It might be that that's all that you can hear this morning. It might be that that's all you need to hear. I want to encourage you to take that into your heart and to know that it's God's word for you. And so there is darkness, but God is with us. There is death and crucifixion as we engage in the life of discipleship, but God will see us through. And following that, there will be resurrection. Have this glorious, glorious vision of the Lord Jesus that John is granted and that he passes on to us. I'm going to say a little bit about some of the detail of the symbolism in just a moment. But the key thing is just to take in its breadth and its glory and its wonder. We see Jesus with eyes blazing brightly, feet like burnished bronze, and language is strained at the seams. It seems like this. It's a bit like this. If we try and paint this picture literally, It looks really strange, but it's because of the language that is being used that is highly symbolic and just paints this glorious, impressionistic picture of Jesus in all his blazing brilliance and glory and honor and power. This does something to us as we hear it, as we hear it being read aloud, as we engage with it. It does something in our minds and our hearts, and we recognize that what we see in this life, well, it's not all there is. There is something more. There is a deeper reality. There is something more brilliant. That is Jesus himself. Here the curtain is pulled back and we see the powers of the age to come breaking through in wonderful degree. And we see Jesus as king and as priest. Just a few things from the symbolism here. That the hair that is white like wool, that denotes authority and kingship. And here he is presented as King of Kings. The 7 golden lampstands, that the churches that Jesus is among, this is temple imagery, Old Testament imagery, and it relates to the work of a priest, someone who is going to bring people to God. And the robe that reaches down to his feet, it's probably a bit of both. It's priestly garments, but in Roman times, the Roman army, the Roman leaders, the longer your robe, the greater your authority. And Jesus is the great high priest, and he is King of Kings. And so you have this wonderful resurrection image. This is Jesus as he really is. He is the one who shows God to us, and he has all authority. Christians who were living at this time, well, they were struggling, oppressed by the Roman Empire. John himself is on Patmos. He's in exile. He is a political prisoner. And persecution was breaking out against the church. And it seemed that the empire was so powerful and that it would never end. But it did. As history fast forward, you have communism and those who lived under communism in Eastern Europe behind the Iron Curtain. It seemed that that would never end, so powerful, and yet it did. Global capitalism in the way that it oppresses the poor. Trade is good, but not oppression, and it might seem that it will never end, but it will. Psalmist says this, kingdoms may rise, kingdoms may fall, nations refuse to hear God's call, but the word of the Lord, this sharp double-edged sword, endures forevermore. The one who has all authority, the one who has all power, is not empires, it's not systems, it is Jesus, who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. May we recognize that this is the reality and this is our hope. 3 things as we bring this to a close. First of all, don't give up. Patient endurance, which is set out for us in verse 9. We need that sometimes. We need that today. In the light of this vision, don't give up. Look to him and receive strength. We are to engage in mission and ministry. As it says at the beginning of Revelation 1, we are to be those who also, reflecting Jesus, are a kingdom and priests. The mission and ministry that God has given you to do, whatever that might be, in your workplace, in your home, in your wider family, in your neighborhoods, amongst those that you just meet, maybe randomly, take those opportunities and show them the love and the light of God. And don't be afraid. This is our reality. This is our present and our future. Jesus is on the throne. He is with us by the Spirit. And the message of Revelation, one day he will come again and we will see him face to face. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will be with him. We draw our strength from God. Corrie ten Boom, who was a great Christian of a past generation, said this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. Yes, we're called to engage with the world around up to the hilt. Let's engage in mission and ministry, but don't look there for comfort and strength. Yeah, we're in call to engage within and to grow in personal holiness, but don't look there for comfort and strength. Look away to God, look away to Jesus, and you will be at rest. This is our present, this is our future, this fires us for now, and this is also our sure and certain hope. One of the things we need in these days, I almost moved out, but I need to be aware of the camera, so I'll stay as static as I probably should do. One of the things we need in these days is hope. I'm a big supporter of Crystal Palace, as some of you know. And sometimes I get down about things, not just about the football, but about things that are going on. I think you know that about me as well. And Cheryl, my wonderful wife, was trying to encourage me and was saying, well, if Crystal Palace win today against Manchester City, then that will really cheer you up. And you sort of know when you hear it, so this is hope against hope. And engage with the match, my son beamed in. And some of you will know, unsurprisingly, Palace didn't win. And we can put our hope in things that actually are very, very uncertain and let us down. But this God will never let us down. This vision is true when it was given, it is true today, and it will be revealed to us in all its glory in the future. If you're on the Lord's side, you're on the victory side. It may not seem like it to you at 11 o'clock on Monday morning or 10 o'clock in the evening on Wednesday. You may feel that you're struggling and that patient endurance is becoming tough and that you're suffering. But this is the truth. This is the deeper reality. This is our sure and certain hope. Hold on to it now and let it break through into the present so that it shapes your life, not only now, but also in the days ahead. I'm going to pray, and then Chris is going to come back. Lord God, we thank you that here in Revelation 1, we see your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he really is. Eyes like blazing fire, feet like burnished bronze, the voice like the sound of rushing waters, the robe reaching down to your feet, the hair that is white like wool, and it just lifts our hearts and our spirits. We thank you that this is the deeper reality. That life is not just what we see with our human eyes. There is a deeper truth that these verses lead us into. Lord, we pray that as we mission and minister for you in the days that lie ahead, you would strengthen us not to be afraid, but to endure patiently, to engage even cheerfully in mission and ministry that leads us into suffering. Thank you for the work of the kingdom that you have given us to do. We pray that we would know, Lord Jesus, that you are our model and that you are present with us. Thank you that you're among the golden lampstands, that you are not alone. And so, Lord, whoever we are and wherever we are, we want to receive this today. Drive these things deeply into our hearts by the power of the Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of songs to close our time of worship this morning, to again look to Jesus and to praise him as he deserves. So I encourage you to stand, wave, clap, hum, all of those things. Or if you're at home, sing as loud as you want.
Thank you.
been an absolute joy worshipping together this morning. It's been absolutely wonderful. Brilliant to be together as God's people here and on the stream at home. Thanks for everybody who's contributed in making all this happen, and for all the preparations and everything like that. It's just been absolutely wonderful. I'd encourage you just to think on these words from the passage that Peter preached from today. Draw your attention to what John said. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and I turned and saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with golden sash around his chest. This is a vision of Jesus walking with seven local churches at the time. Hear this and be encouraged, Cornerstone, that Jesus walks with us as a local church now. Jesus is with us. He is amongst us. He's present among us. And as we go into this week, be encouraged that Jesus goes with us. He walks alongside us. He's with us by the Spirit. Well, we know that hope and that assurance. If there's anything that you'd appreciate talking about or praying about, please feel free to get in touch with the church office. For those on the stream, the details of that, how to get in touch, will be on the screen at the end as well. For those on the stream, there'll be a Zoom after party as well, if you're able to join for that, where there'll be opportunity to talk and share and pray. It would be wonderful if you'd be able to join for that as well. I just pray that we would go into this week knowing who we are in Jesus as a church and as individuals, that we would know the blessing of God with us, Father, Son, and Spirit, this week and all the other weeks as well. Amen.